The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, there's a lot going on in this passage, as you can imagine. Anytime we have Jesus making these scriptural references or allusions, there's a lot of depth to the scene. And I think I'll try to limit myself here to really 2 points. One is, of course, we heard that great reading from Jonah this morning about his making his way through Nineveh. And what do the people do in response to the call of God's impending judgment is that they turn away from their own ways and they look to God and they look to go God's way. And they do that by putting on sackcloth and ashes. So we had that, right? We know in our own penitential season, they were observing their own penitential season, right? Even that time that that Jonah is proclaiming, right? In 40 days, God will destroy. Now, the proclamation from the church doesn't go out in that manner. Do you know, like, if we don't keep a good and holy Lent, then God's going to wipe us all out. It's a little bit different, and Jesus kind of points us in that direction as well. Something better than Jonah is here. Something greater than Jonah is here. Thank God for that. That's a good thing. But we see, of course, the whole people of Nineveh taking on a fast. And I think if you follow the progression of that scene, you see that the fast comes, and then there's a looking to God, a turning to God. So sometimes there's in our minds this perhaps the idea, like, what comes first in the spiritual life? Is it my commitment to God, and then I can do these difficult things, but they make sense in light of my commitment to God? Or is it that I do these difficult things and then somehow that helps me in my progress toward God and his way? There's probably a middle way there that kind of splits the difference on both of them, is that, of course, we have to be inspired by God in doing whatever it is we're going to do. We want to surrender to him, want to give ourselves over to him, want to be obedient to him, say, before we even begin, and then have him lead us into the practices that will continue to inflame our hearts, sustain us in the path that he's calling us to walk. But that those practices that we take on have real significance in the cultivation of our holiness, the cultivation of our being given over to God, our consecration, and living in his service. So we have all of that, I think, is at play here. When Jesus talks about Jonah, everybody would have known this story. There's something I think more interesting about that story, and I will never tire of talking about it. So I'm sorry if you've heard it before, but Jonah is a reluctant prophet. Jonah does not want to go to the people of Nineveh, not because he doesn't think it's going to work, but because he thinks it might. Of course, he's not going to speak words of condemnation to Nineveh. It wouldn't make any sense. If God wanted to wipe them out, he'd just wipe them out. He goes to tell them that their impending doom is coming because God wants to turn them around. And he does not want them to turn around. He'd rather God wipe them out. So he goes, he's reluctant. Can you imagine? Well, we can see how compelling it was, but how compelling would that be to you to have someone stand in front of you and say, Yeah, I don't really care about you, but you probably should turn it around because God's going to wipe you out. It's like, okay, well, I don't know. I don't know. I personally don't know what to make of it. But what we see in that story is that the Ninevites do turn it around. They hear the message. Even the message carried in, I don't know, I would say the wrong person, except for the fact that it worked, right? But even contained in the person who could not care less about them, he brings that message. And because it's the message of God, it's powerful. Powerful enough to have them turn around and find God's way, go God's way. Something greater than Jonah is here. Because Jesus is carrying that message of repentance still. But he's bringing it about in his flesh. Right, that's a message of repentance. We use these words, so you have to give me just a second. Jonah's message was a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Because it was, turn away from your way of life and go God's way. Be reconciled to God. Go God's way. Change your heart. Change your life. That's a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Because there's God's willingness to embrace those who turn to him is baked into that message. But Jesus is living out that mercy. He's the definitive expression of that mercy for all peoples. And he's reconciling the world to God in his person, which means that also he's suffering for the sake of the message. He's suffering out of love for the sake of the message. Now, there's something greater than Jonah here. Yes, it's Jesus. But now also, my friends, his people. So yeah, we have all the preamble, right? Put on sackcloth. Well, don't really put on sackcloth. It's probably a prideful thing. There's a great story about St. Philip Neri. One of his followers was always begging him, I want to do more penances. Let me wear the hair shirt. Let me put on sackcloth, right? Eventually, St. Philip relented. He said to him, okay, you can wear the hair shirt on the outside. So he had to go around wearing a hair shirt. He looked a fool for doing it that way, and that was his penance. That was his mortification, right? So anyway, we have to put on sackcloth and ashes. We have to fast and be weaned off of whatever it is, the worldly pursuits that we're otherwise caught up in order to go the way of God. But even in that process, we have Jesus inspiring us. We have Jesus animating us, giving us strength to go the way that he has walked. It's not uncharted waters for us. Jesus has done it. And he not only wants to show us the way, he wants to give us the strength to walk that way with him. And he's going to do it. And then when we do, we find that living totally for God and his purposes, we're caught up in the love of God, and we're bringing his love to life in the world. Right? Our commitment is important there. But it's beyond our capacity. But Jesus is going to do it in us. Our commitment matters, but here is the power of God. As we set foot on his purposes in our life, now here is the power of God, and it's nothing other than love. So keep giving ourselves to God, giving ourselves away in service of him to the people that he entrusts to our care.